talk about how faithful the Lord is.
Yes.
The Lord knows how to help everyone that wants to be helped. Some people don't want help. Some people don't want to be bothered with what they call it religion. They want to go and do and be what they want to be and do, and nothing to disturb them or conflict with them in any way. You know, we can't get anywhere with God unless we're willing to die the death, the sin, unrighteousness.
That's true.
The ways of the world and the ways of self and just everything that's unlike God, just there has to be a death. There has to be a change made. And I'm glad tonight that He has that for every one of us.
Amen.
Now, I thought about how the Lord has been so faithful to tell us as we come into this age we're living in, and we see the signs proclaiming in near hand, and realize everything is shaping up surely for destruction, dear one. And then He's told us about that time too. Now here in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, in the 1st verse, we want to read our first text, says, "This know also." Now prior to this, He had been telling them a lot of good things. He had told them how to live in a way that would please God, how to suffer persecutions, how to suffer for the cause of Christ, how to be willing to strip off all that would hinder them in their race for God and the right, show them the way of salvation, the way that would bring us all into a good relationship with God. And now He comes down to tell us of the perilous times. You know, perilous means dangerous time.
Yeah, yeah.
And we can see it on in different ways. It's not only dangerous, you might say, about our souls. That is, it is dangerous concerning our souls and how we live to please God. But it's dangerous on so many other lines. When you get in a car today and start out distance, maybe not a mile. Sometimes people just have serious accidents just a little ways from their house. Just get up and rush out, and maybe their mind's absorbed in things, and something happened to them. When we lived here in Oregon a number of years ago, we knew we was living close to where Brother Elmer Glidewell lives now, on a place joining him. And there was a man that him and his wife had serious trouble. So one morning, no doubt they had been having a quarrel or something, and he jumped in his car and rushed out. He had to cross the railroad right below Brother Elmer's, and he crossed the railroad track just in time for that logging train to be rolling down with a load of logs. And of course, if he saw it and tried to stop or not, nobody knew. But he went out into eternity, just a few hundred feet from his house. And it's only just increased from that on. People today are just rushing madly here and there over the land today. And how many of them are slaughtered on the highways. The death toll is just taking them by the thousands out into eternity. By plane wrecks and by automobile wrecks. By bus accidents down our way not too long back, a bus load of children, and quite a load of them. The driver accidentally, something happened, they don't hardly know what, and he just drove that whole bus, truck and all, bus and all, into eternity with them. You might say, went off on the highway, or leave into a river or something, and killed about everyone on the bus. You know, that's what's happening. It's dangerous times. It's perilous times. And how we ought to live carefully before God. We ought not to leave our house in the morning without asking God to take care of us as we go about here and there, and trust Him and live careful and live in the will of God, and just keep your experience up to date from day to day is the only right way to do, isn't it, dear ones? And now He said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Truly we're living in the last days. We're living in the perilous times. And He goes on to tell us what will happen in these perilous times. He says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, You know, this is a time of such awful selfishness that people don't care what will happen to other people. They can just do you any way they please. And it's just all right with them. The common expressing in the world is, I look out for my own self, and you have to look out for your own. But that's not God's way about it, dear ones. He wants us to look out for others. He wants us to consider others. He wants us to think of others and see if we can't do some good for somebody else along the way. You know, that shows us that we're living in that kind of a time when people just don't care about anything, just have their own way. That men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous. Coveting just anything they can get their hands on. Coveting people's property that don't belong to them. If they know somebody has maybe a lot of wealth in their home, like jewelry and wealthy, expensive furniture and televisions and a lot of the things like the world have, you better watch. You better have a watchman in your house, or somebody's liable to get it. Back our way, just every little while, somebody goes into some of the rich people there in Tulsa and just strips their home while they're gone, break in. They get in and they have to take an axe and knock the door down. Or they'll break a window and crawl in. Just anyway, one woman that broke into her house before and had just given a terrible time. She went to the court and told him about it. And they said, do you get you a six-shooter? And if they come back again and they try that, shoot them down. And it wasn't only a few weeks after that till the same man, if you please, come at the back door and began to pound and beat on it. And she just went and got the gun, had the baby in her arms, waiting for him to see if he's going to break in. And sure enough, when nobody come to answer the knock, he just began to knock and beat on that door and broke it in again. They had bought a new door and put it up there. But he broke into the house through the door, and when he got clear inside of the whole house, she was standing there ready for him, and she shot him down. You see how dangerous it is? It's not only dangerous for people that want to live right and do right and respect others, but it's getting dangerous for the thief, I want to tell you. The murderer, those that are doing these awful things, it's getting mighty dangerous for them. When they break into a house, they don't know but what will be their last. Maybe their last thievery or break in, whatever. Dear ones, we're in perilous times. It said they'd be covetous. Oh, that's an awful sin. To covet other people's property, or to covet too much of this world's good. And to just have a covetous spirit. You know, God wants us to have a free spirit, a free hearted, ready to do for those that's in need. When we know people that's having a hard time financially, you know the Spirit of the Lord in our hearts makes us feel for them. We want to do something to help them in their struggles.
Brother Snowden, it's bad, but it's going to get worse.
It's just getting bad, yes. It's just bad all the way. It isn't near to the end. It's going to be worse. It's going to get where a man don't know when he goes out on the streets but when he's liable to be taken out. While we was in Oakland, just checking different things as he was on duty in the police force. And as he was checking one thing another, a man saw him and just went up and knocked him down. And there while he's laying on the ground, he shot him three times. Don't you see? When the officers of our land are not saved, when it's getting where they're almost afraid for their life to step out on the streets of today and tonight. Dear ones, while we're quietly in meeting tonight, if we could just see the picture of this whole world, or we wouldn't have to go to the whole world, just in America, how many crimes are being committed while we sit here in the chapel tonight, in peace and quietness. And you know, when people step out in the darkness of the night tonight, they don't know who's liable to knock them in the head, who's liable to shoot them down, who's liable to run them down. You know, a lot of people just said, walking along the highway, somebody comes along and runs them down. Perilous times shall come, and said they shall be covetous, boasters. You know, the Lord don't want us to be boasters, does He? We want to just thank God for every blessing. We don't want to feel like we can do anything of our own. And she got down bedfast, where she couldn't hardly turn herself, couldn't feed herself. So the saints there in Bakersfield, they were good to come in and help, and they was waiting on her, just waiting on her like a child, feeding her and caring for her and everyone needed it. And she told how said, I was sailing there one day, telling the Lord how sorry I was, that I was so helpless, that I had to be waited on like this. She said the Lord just poked her and said, you've been this helpless all the time, but you just didn't know it. You know, dear ones, that's the truth. We don't know how helpless we really are. We can't take a breath, one single breath. If God sees fit, He can draw it to the close, and we can't draw another breath. We're helpless, dear ones. We're just dependent on God for our life, our breath, and yea, all things. And He said, boasters, oh Lord, help us, that we'll just be humble and faithful, and trusting in the Lord with all our hearts. Proud blasphemers, boasters, proud blasphemers. You know, people are blaspheming that precious name of Jesus. The world today, many of them don't think about how awful it is to take the name of the Lord and make light of religion and of people that serve the Lord. They just think it's a sport. Margaret was called on a few days ago to, she makes grapes for others, and sometimes she's made for some of the grapery houses there in Tulsa. So this man wanted her to come and give him a lift for a few days. She said, I went down there, dressed right and behaving myself right. Said the women and the men was carrying on around there in such a boisterous and rude and unmanly and womanly attitude and way, that she said, it just about made me feel sick to think I was working in that kind of environment. But said she just had to do her business and was quiet, had nothing to say, only in a civil way. Said pretty soon one of the women said to her, I notice you don't partake in this kind of talking. She said, no, I don't have anything to do with it. I just don't like it. You know, she said, in a little while, it just changed the whole company. They began to talk different. They began to respect her. There seemed to be a little respect in the hearts of a few people. Yeah, when people will do right, you know, it still is what we need to do, and try to get people to pay attention to it and live better, should we not? Then it says, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. This world is such a shape today, the children just don't feel like they have to pay attention to what their mamas and daddies say, hardly at all. Especially when they get up 8 or 10 years old, they ought to be old enough, they tell us, to make their own decisions. And that a parent is just clear out of line to get them a switch and give them the switching when they need it. But I believe the Bible still teaches the children ought to obey their parents, and when they don't, they need correction still. I just don't believe in this modern way of trying to raise them up and just pet them along. They get where they don't respect the parent. They know they won't punish them no matter what they do. And then they go out and tamper with the law, and they think they can bluff them out, and sometimes they get enough of it and they fall into a perilous state. Dear ones, it's because people have let down now the Word of God and not living like God's Word teaches us. And He says here, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. And that's a result of children that's left to run and do as they please. You know, when parents just let them go and do as they please, let them go out and not know where they are all hours of the night. Just children, young children running the streets. You know, it's no wonder there's a lot of the delinquency among children. But it's not the children's fault, if you please. It's parents that just turn the reins loose and let them do whatever they want to do. I say today, the children are to be pitied. They're just absolutely to be pitied. Many of them in their homes are such fighting and quarreling and such awful ungodly behavior among husbands and wives. The children just grow up to be almost infidels and just lawbreakers and everything else, because they know there's no restraint, there's no atmosphere in the home that ought to cause children to respect their homes and want to do right. But he says here, disobedient to parents, unthankful. And of course, when they become in that attitude, they become unholy. Just as unholy as the devil can make them if they're just let run and let them obey the devil all the time. Why, sure, they'll become unholy. May the Lord help us. This is the condition prior to the coming of Jesus. And can't we see it everywhere? Just anywhere you go, you can see the children just going rampant. It just shocks us to see when you travel out of just driving your own car in the aircraft, the airplane depots. It's just awful, the crowd you see coming in there. Hippies of all kinds, and they're just in the awfulest attire and carry on in such awful ways. And in the bus depots and on the buses and everywhere you go, the powers of the devil is turned loose today. And morality and decency have just lost its grip on men and women alike. And just children that don't have to be grown, just teenagers are going in such scandalous attire that it's a shame and disgrace before God. And the whole thing is pointing down to the perilous times we're living in. Listen, it says, without natural affection. What is the sign of non-natural affection? It's when men and women that have paid a vow to each other declared before God and man that they'd be true and faithful, that they'd stand by them in sickness and in health, in poverty and in plenty. As long as they live, they'd be true to each other. And when you see them just running wild, taking up a lot of people that tell us that they have a wife and a sweetheart, many of the bus drivers and the engineers and the businessmen today, it's just a shame and disgrace the way the home is being mutilated by immorality and by disgrace and shame. Not too long ago, I wrote in the paper, tons of paper, to one of these strips where the women, they ask him questions. What is it?
Dear Abby.
Dear Abby. And this voice told Dear Abby, said, Dear Abby, my home, I thought I had a good home. I thought my mother and father were respectable parents, and that everything was going right and respectable. And said one evening, I told him I thought I'd go to the picture show in Tulsa, so it would require several hours for him to go down there and take in the night show. And he said he started out, it got so far, and something just took all the desire to go. He said, I thought, no, I believe I'll go home. and spend the evening quietly with mom and dad, he turned around and unexpectedly he come back up to his home and he sat there and he was having one of the awfulest orgies right in his home. His mother and his father just pairing off with other women and men and going in such a horrible way that he said it was just heart-rending to him. He said, I turned and went away. He said, I thought, is this actually my home? What I thought was home and going on like this. He said, dear Abby, what should I do? Should I regard them? Should I respect them for the way that I thought they were? When here they just brought out where I can see the awful way they're living. She had an answer for the boy, trying to encourage him that you live right, son. You do right. And let the other things, all they could do is just let them go. Now, isn't that a shame that children cannot depend even on their parents many times? These are the perilous times we're facing. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to be more rampant. That man that in the paper there in Oakland, and Brother Wilson went and heard his speech the other night, and he was just telling if he got in, what he was going to do. He was just going to pull all the bars of morality down and just let people just go like animals abroad. Now just think of what we're facing, dear ones. I tell you, saints ought to be on their knees a lot more than they are. We ought to be crying to God to help some way. May it bring a halt to this thing for our sakes and for the sakes of the saints and our children. Oh, God, have mercy on the world tonight. Perilous times have come, and it's going to only increase without unnatural affection. Truce breakers, how unnatural affections has become today. Women can just get tired of home. We had a young lady that we were closely in touch with through the years. And she had some trouble with her nerves. And she just had to get away from her children, her husband. She had to go home where she could be free from every responsibility, her children, her husband. Oh, say, you know, I believe women ought to just lay on their face before God before they would walk away and leave a child without guarding protection of a mother's love. Unnatural affection will cause them easily want to go away and easily to get out of the restraint and the restraint of home and affection. Unnatural affection. Then it says, have lovers.
Truce breakers.
Without natural affection, truce breakers. People's words isn't worth much today. They can tell you one thing, and just maybe as soon as you get out of their sight, they'll do different. Truce breakers. You know, it's got so bad until banks and different business places. You've got to prove pretty much you're all right to get anything from their favors, unless they know something about you or have some record of things. But you know still, if a person is raised right and is taught right, God will take care of them. And you know, they can live it at school just the same as Albert. Michael, he had been pretty careful in his department in grade school and high school. And when he got ready to buy his new car, he went down to the bank thinking he'd have to have his father sign for it. So he talked to the banker about wanting to buy a car, and said he thought his father'd have to sign. Said, no, I know you. Now think of it. Bankers knowing the children, the young people today, when they know somebody walks straight, they just must mark them down some way. And he said, you won't have to have any references. If you want to take it, you tell me how much you want to pay down. And what kind of terms is it? You want a road outfit? He told him he wrote it out and he rolled the new car out with the bank's money. Dear ones, you see, it pays to be honest today. If the word is given to be truth breakers, the saints ought to be able to just live where that they can show to the world they got something better than the others have to offer.
Amen.
I say today it pays to be honest.
Amen.
And God will be behind you, and the people of the world will respect you also. Truth breakers, letters of truth breakers, false accusers. Don't mind to just tell anything false on a person. And if they're caught, all right. If not, they go along. But there's truth breakers and false accusers. Incontinent. I believe that's somebody without restraint, isn't it?
Yes.
Somebody that just does as they please to do, just any way they choose. They just go headlong along. Incontinent. Then the word following that, I believe is fierce, isn't it? Fierce, despisers of those that are good. You know, there's some people that when you just spur them a little, they're fierce enough that they'll turn to kill you if you cross them. We heard not long ago somebody was trying to talk to a man that they wanted to reason with, and he said, "I'll kill you." Just without it, just barely crossing what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
You see, people don't count life very expensive today. It's mighty cheap in the ways of the world. But he said here, fears, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady. You know, Jesus, when he was here, he had one of his own disciples that was a traitor on him, that denied him, and sold him for 30 pieces of silver. And another one was a traitor to an extent. He denied that he knew him, had any knowledge of him in the least, with no power of a disciple. And then when he wakened to the fact, I'm glad that he repented and wept bitterly until the Lord took all that out of Peter and made him a real child of God.
Amen.
Even in these perilous times, dear ones, there's a way of escape. If people are caught in these traps and snares of the enemy, there's a way out. But I want to tell you, we have to come God's way, or we'll just continue right on in the same course. It says here, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You know, generally, in the way of the world today, Friday night, if you're traveling anywhere, you'll see campers and all kinds of camping equipment, trailer houses, boats, and every way that people can travel over the highway today. And it isn't just once in a while. Maybe some of them, they figure on that about every weekend to go someplace and get away from home and just spend their time in revelry and pleasure. Oh, dear ones, I fear some people's going to wake up in some of these conditions and not be ready to meet God. I say tonight we want to be balanced. We want to be aware that we can know the right and be sure that we don't neglect our service to God and to the saints and to the world. And if we do that, the Lord will see us through. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's really wrong, isn't it? When people get so much wrapped up in the pleasure of this world that they can just go by thronging thousands to the places of amusement and all kinds of revelry. Just a few days before we left home, there was to be a big, famous game at one of the Oklahoma colleges. And they said they expected 50,000 fans. You know, that's staggering, isn't it, for just a state. game, but you see, there's so many thousands that would rather be out at night sitting in a cold bleacher watching a big game and just hooping until the next day or two. They can't hardly talk. They'd rather do that than to come to a meeting. They say, oh, it's too dull. There's not enough life. And sometimes I wonder if there really is or not. You know, dear ones, I believe we ought to almost do a little hooping ourselves, don't we? If we got what God has for us and it's rich in our souls, we ought to have a little stir to be able to shout a little once in a while and give honor and praise to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And this is another sad condition that the world's in tonight. It says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. A form of godliness. All of them have quite a form. They have quite a program. They have it so that it'll attract those that are like-minded and don't really believe in living to a strict life. Why, you know, it just brings them in by multitudes a lot of times. Billy Graham, you can have one of these big campaigns and maybe get them by the thousands in there, like the big ball game. There's a lot of entertainment there, a lot of fine singing that the world likes, and a lot of reveling going on there that God is not in it in the least. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power of God. What is the power of God? It's salvation in the soul. It's something that will clean a man up from his sins, his habits, his attitudes, his soul be made washed whiter than the snow, and his heart and life changed. When you get that kind of form of godliness, not too many people want to do that.
No,
they'd rather go with a big farm and a big gathering of the bankers and the city officials and the rich and the famous people. That's the one they like. But dear ones, that shows us how perilous the times are. How that the devil has just got every trap, every snare, every bait that he can put out to get the people under his great control. But I'm glad tonight that if we'll just love God and serve Him, He'll help us. But He said, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You know, I just don't have any time for this kind of stuff that's going on. I have people to say, oh, you want to go and hear so-and-so. Why, he just really got a message. And if you hear him a time or two on the radio, first thing you know, he come out with some false doctrine, something about the millennium, or something about tithing, or something about not believe that we ought to be too strict. We ought to let entertainments for our young people, and sometimes those entertainments are not a bit better than the world has to offer us. I know by firsthand that I've known some that they had entertainment for their people, young people. They'd rent one of these big skating rinks, and they'd just have a big hoopla array on the skating rings, and they just do all these things to get the attention and hold their young people in their movement, so that when they grew up they'd have their means and their membership. But let me tell you, God is not in that kind of business. If He can't get us living right and serving God, He'll just not come bring His standard down for us to come in with anything short of an experience of Bible salvation. And if we'll do that, the Lord will help us and bless us. And He goes on here to say how that... The fifth verse. From such turn away. It says, for of this sort are they which creep into houses. religious people. That some of them have their name on a lot of these churches around, and you can't tell what they're liable to do. They're just not safe in the neighborhood a lot of times, and yet they're right in their ranks. It says here that for these, this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with their sins, and silly men too. I'll tell you, it's just not one sect today. They're just both acting silly, acting foolish, acting unwise with hardly balanced judgment in their lives. And surely, surely, it makes us know we're right in the end of time, dear ones. Laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Oh, may God help us to flee from this world and everything that pertains to it. Because wouldn't it be awful if we knew the truth, if we'd heard this gospel and knew what God required, and then something happened to us if we go to work or here and there and come up and find that we have missed it, and there we'd be classed with all those ungodly people down in eternal night, where never a ray of light or hope will ever enter. Dear ones, this is time that people ought to look heavenward. We ought to be looking to God and seeking God to bless me, Lord. Keep me from the snare of the fowler. Keep me from the corruption of this vain and wicked, ungodly world. And if you'll do that, God will make a way for you. He'll bless your life, whether you're young or old. And if people goes on today and get up in years and don't turn to the Lord, I'll tell you that the percentage of elderly people coming and finding God is getting mighty, mighty low. The average is just so low that you don't hardly see old people.
Right.
Just once in a while, a man or woman that's lived in sin for many years, you don't hardly see them turn. They're just willing to just go on the way they are. We talked to a poor man, a wretched poor old fella, just down and out, had to have another man take care of him in his own home. I tried to talk to him about his soul, tried to show him that he ought to turn, that he might not be even have many more years here. But you know what he told me? He said, "Well, I've lived this way so long, I guess I'll just go on." And that's what he done, as far as we know. Just went on like he'd lived, and he was dodging the law. He told us right there the night we was visiting with him, told how he's dodging the law, hiding in just places where it is hard to believe a man would hide from the law, and carrying on his racket of sin and vice and shame, and then coming down to meet God. How awful. Oh, isn't this a perilous time, dear ones? I just don't know if I can begin to get it to your mind. As I see it in my very soul tonight, a perilous, dangerous, evil snares of the enemy that the devil is on every hand. And you know Jesus told us about it in his own word. Get us that text where he told how that they would be serving and drinking and the cares of this life. I'd like you to just notice what Jesus told us would happen. Dear ones, all the signs are just pointing to the time we're living in tonight, and there's not many people much stirred. They can just go on and do as they please and have their way and carry on in any way they please. But let me tell you, there's going to come a time when, just like the fire whistle this evening here in town, that's one day there's going to be a blast that'll shake the buildings to pieces, I believe, and the stores and all of the things of this world will suddenly come to a halt, and the world will face an offended God, where he will just have to say, as he said he would, he just say to those on his left hand, "Depart, ye workers of iniquity, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Will you read it now, please?
Luke 21:34. "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth.
Just think of that. It's coming right now.
Yes.
Right on the earth.
Today. Most of the folks are caught in the snare now.
Most of them caught in the snare tonight. It says here, watch ye therefore, and watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And then, I guess that's all. But it just shows us how perilous the times are, dear one. And how people are just given over to the cares of this life. No time to read, no time to pray, no time to be quiet, no time to meditate. They have to go to work and work so hard, they're wore out, as they say. And they just have to spend so much time this way and that. And the first thing you know, the cares of life has choked out the love of God, choked out the love for the Word, choked out the desire for prayer meeting, the desire for services, desire to visit the neighbors and maybe talk to them about the Lord, or try to do something to help somebody or something. Dear ones, realize that never before we're living in perilous times. Not they're going to come, but they're on us tonight. And they're only going to increase and increase until the Lord says that it's enough and bring this world to judgment. May the Lord bless you as I minister.